We say good morning to Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle. Morning, Peter.
Yes, good morning. Good morning to our listeners. A lovely morning again. We had a great day yesterday, good weather, a little bit of rain later in the day. Saturday was good. So
indeed,
the weather seems to be slowing down a bit, if we can say that. It's dark by 7 o'clock at night, but it's still great weather at this time of the year. Anyway, yeah, our chat today, twofold. I was on the golf course yesterday, and my fellow player said to me, "Hey, Peter, can I leave some money to my pets in my will?" So I said, you know, I said, why would you want to do that? And he said, no, I want my dogs and cats to be well looked after afterwards. So I said, yes, of course you can. There's nothing you can't put in a will, but you need to be certain that you put it in the will to such an extent that it's properly administrated and capable of being administrated.
Yeah.
So what you can do is that indeed you can add a line in there. You can do your own living will that gives, you know, attention to that, a clause in your will. You can say your pets, you know, they can't inherit from you because obviously they're not a party. But you can say, I bequest to cover them with the costs of pet ownership, for example. So you need to make sure that you pick someone that's going to do that. You can say the executor must provide for them as long as they live. Or if you specifically give a directive that my dog must go to my son, Jack, whatever, and I leave X amount of money for him to maintain it, the pet, you can do that. So it is, you know, you need, it's a directive that you put into your will, and it's a separate directive that you do. So it's a clause you would have to put in. You would have to name the pet. You can't just say my pet and you don't name who it is, because you can't burden someone with a lifelong situation to look after pets that were maybe not yours or something like that. So yes, if you identify my dog named so-and-so, which has been with me, I set aside X amount for it. I nominate my son, Jack, to look after the pet and leave him sufficient enough money to do that.
Right.
No problem at all in putting that into a will.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, that answered him yesterday, and that's exactly what it is. So, yes, you can, with estate planning, look after your pet quite easily.
Okay, right.
Then the next thing that we thought we'd do today was association agreements. You know, weekly there are people that split and have a hell of a fight over the business that they had and the fact that they don't have an association agreement for their close corporation. It is not an automatic document. You need to make sure that you understand that the association agreement is a document that shows you and tells you and directs you as to how to run your close corporation.
Okay.
So it's very important that you consult with an attorney and that you get one that's done. It's an agreement. It has all the names of the members, first member, second member, third member, as you come on the document that you've registered. It's got various clauses, which I'm basically just going to mention various clauses briefly. So you will have a heading, you will have definitions and interpretations, which is the norm. Then, you know, there's certain sections of the Act that are applicable, that are not applicable, if any such things. They normally upfront say that section, for example, 36 and 46 of the Act shall not apply to members.
Right.
That's a possibility. Then you have your members' interest. Very important that it is on your papers that come from SIPCO, but it's also important that you put it there, what the first member has, what the second member has, and, you know, you spread out there. So it's 10%, 20%, 30%, making up the 100%.
Okay.
You get certificates that will confirm that there is a certificate issued for each person setting out that particular member's interest. And then, of course, you know, there's a clause normally that refers to a lien, that the corporation shall have a lien or hypothec on every member's equity for all that member's debts, liabilities, engagements, and the like. Very important clause to cover that, so that the equity of any member which is subject to any lien or the like is covered for the sake of the close corporation. Don't forget that it is a separate judicial entity. In other words, it is a person of its own.
Right.
So you get Peter Peter, you get Wayne, and then you get Jack CC. Jack CC is a third person like the two of us. So it's very important that you understand that, that it is its own entity. You then also can, into the document, add what the contribution by each of the members is. In that regard, you know, it doesn't have to be cash. You can have knowledge put in by somebody. How often don't I see CCs at a form where Jack comes to the party with the know-how, and but he doesn't have the money to set it up. And then you get the next person that puts money in. So the knowledge imparted and put into the CC has a value on it, which is probably equal to the monetary value. You can come to terms and agreement in that regard, that you set out exactly what the contribution of every member is. In other words, how he got his share, what he contributed to obtain that share. Very, very important.
Okay.
The next thing that it covers is meetings of members. You know, periods, when will we have a meeting? Will we have a general meeting? Will we have sub-meetings? You know, all of that. So you dictate in the document when the meetings of members will take place. And then, of course, very important, and something that everybody fights over from time to time, is setting out how the meeting is to be run, the proceedings at the meeting, who will run it, how many days' notice must be given, where will it be done, what percentage vote will each party have, or does each party have an equal vote, and things like that. So that they will set out all the aspects of a meeting, when they're to be held, how they're to be held, where they're to be held, and who is entitled to attend and vote. Very, very important. That takes you to the very next one, which is votes of members. It sets out there whether a member can do a proxy, perhaps, if he's not available, who he can give the proxy to, who is entitled to be the bearer of a proxy, and all of that type of thing. You know, a proxy is a very unusual thing. It's normally best for the parties themselves to be there. But you may have a situation where it's impossible and all the rest of it. So you need to make sure that the proxy is correctly done. Resolutions, when one submits resolutions, obviously majority rules, something very difficult for a number of people to accept. But unfortunately, if you join, you know, into a close corporation, the majority is going to rule. It's the same as anything. I mean, you know, no matter where you are, right down to your days at school, majority of parents rule, majority decision rules.
Yes.
And as you grow older, wherever you go, I mean, you know, World Cup rugby, the majority of the selectors selected a team, and that's what goes. So the same majority is applicable, yeah. I mean, I was listening to you now with the news that there's somebody that wants to object to the netball coach that's been appointed. Very sad, because I'm sure they've gone, unless it's to do with not using the proper procedures, I can stand by it. But if it's just a personal thing and they're going to try and challenge it, it's really not necessary. You know, people need to learn in life that what is done correctly, and if done correctly, there's no challenge. But anyway, it'd be interesting to see what the netball one is.
Yes.
Management committee with a close corporation, there's always normally a management committee. You know, you can have a certain number of members, but you can't have them all dealing with it. So the basics there is that you appoint two or three of the members to do the management, and they do it in terms of the agreement. It sets out how they will do it, who it will be, and all the rest of it. And then one is expected to abide by whoever is appointed and the procedure set out relating to that. A management committee is entitled to, you know, go ahead and set out meetings of the committee, set out meetings of the members. It will set out how, what a quorum is for something like that, and all the rest of it. Very important one is, can someone just bind a close corporation, you know, legal document, or let's say to a deal to manufacture something or something like that? The document, the agreement, will set that out as well. What is the power of members to bind it? A resolution is always needed. That's something that's very important. It can always be challenged. So if you're doing business with a close corporation, make sure that you have a resolution signed by members authorizing the person that is dealing with you to do the necessary in that regard. So the agreement will set out in detail as to what is necessary for that party to bind the closed corporation. And distributions to members, you get that. Set out, you know, when it takes place and what the position is. Loans by members. This is a common thing as well, that members take loans through there or put monies in both ways. And that's quite interesting as well. It also can deal with personal suretyships. You know, you may want to do a new project and the person you're dealing with won't do it without a personal suretyship. So it will be a clause that will tell you what happens when somebody gives a personal suretyship, what the other members, you know, reaction is to that and what they are responsible for. So that comes in there as well. The other one is that if a member wants to sell, what is the position with his interest? Do the existing members have first choice, or does it go out to the public, or when is he allowed to sell his share? That comes into the agreement as well. So it sets out in detail sale of shares. Death of a member is treated the same way. What happens on a death? Is it first offered to the other members before it goes to someone else? Similarly, permanent incapacity of a member. You may have a member that's had a bad stroke or something and can no longer assist, and the rule relating to that moves you to the next, which is insolvency of a member. You might have a member that found himself in trouble, been sequestrated, and you know the agreement will tell you what happens to someone like that, what happens to his shares, where do they go to. Amendment of the founding statement, that can happen from time to time. You might change the line of business. You might have a situation where new members are added and all the rest of it. Indemnities, another part of the agreement. You know, who indemnifies who, from where and when. The accounting officers, legal officers, and things like that normally are indemnified against actions that they take on the instruction of the members. And then, of course, one of the ones that we all hate is the winding up. Business is in trouble and there's a winding up. One sets out in the agreement what the procedure is and how one goes about it. And then, of course, the most important thing of belonging to any organization, not just a close corporations, you know, you are expected to show absolute good faith. You know, your bona fides must be there. When dealing with a close corporation and you act in the interests of it. So you can't come along and, hey, the CC's discovered something and you jump ahead of it and patent it or produce it and things like that. It's a hell of a thing that happens from time to time, but good faith must prevail. Disputes happens all the time. There's always a dispute or two in every single business, household, home, wherever you look. Disputes are there daily. So it sets out a whole section that tells you how to deal with a dispute. Then, of course, it's also very important that people don't realize is that your domicilium, in other words, what address each member uses. So you will have a thing that says the corporation situated at 8 Jack Street, Port, okay, whatever it is, physical address, that is, telefax number, or shall we say these days, email address, and then the same with all the members. So you set it out. So it's not a case of Joe Soap has gone from pillar to post, town to town, and we don't know where to serve stuff on him. Whatever address is utilized in there is the address that you will use for him as a notice. And of course, if he's moved, the duty is on him to tell the close corporation as to what address he should be contacted at. Then, of course, you know, that basically is the agreement that is entered into. Okay. It's quite a lengthy agreement, like I say. It's a necessary agreement. It needs to be signed by all the members. It must be properly witnessed. And it will always be binding once in place. And like we already mentioned, that you can make amendments to it. You know, you can call a meeting and amendments can be done. So, yeah, Wayne, that's basically your association agreement, the same you have for all establishments. You know, it's the Bible for the close corporation. And likewise, you know, if you've got a homeowners association, you have a constitution, schools have governing body rules and regulations, all of them should clearly be reduced to writing so that there's a document that shows what the position is, and there can then be no arguments relating to any dealings with it.
And as you say, Peter, that's very, very important, especially for an organization like a CC, you know, that's got more than one member. And, you know, it might be an operation that starts up with a couple of friends, maybe a couple of work colleagues that go on their own. And, you know, they still need to have everything in black and white, because down the line, you know, things can change. People come, people go. And you just need something to fall back on and said, this is what we decided on that day and this is what we signed on that day.
Correct. Very important. Very important. Yeah.
Well,
we need to make sure that is looked after and sorted correctly. Yeah.
Indeed. And Peter, before we go, if somebody wants to reach you and or Alam's attorneys, how do they get hold of you?
Yes, they can get us at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, little side street off Devra Avenue, where Pep Stores is. Can't miss it. Telephone 043-7211-018. Repeat 043-7211-018. Or if they like us on Facebook, you'll find us on Facebook, Alam's. Just add a S to our surname, Alam, and you'll find all the details there. You'll find our weekly chats, our dealings with you, dealings with Great Car, which went off so well as well. All to be found on our Facebook page.
Great.
And at the present moment, we are indeed updating our website, which we neglected a little bit, so it will all soon be on there as well.
Great. Well, Peter, thank you very, very much. And this chat will be on our website and yours later today as well.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. Cheerio then. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat.